Words from our Lord. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ. If indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end, you may be seated. Words from our Lord.
Good morning, church. Good morning, church. Okay, that's right. Okay. Well, thank you, Milka, for praying for me. I heard my name mentioned. Whenever I heard my name mentioned, my blood circulated 10% faster, and it really energized me. I really need prayer, and I'm not just saying that for the sake of saying it. All the pastors and people in ministry need a lot of prayers, especially when we have to deliver God's word. So this morning, as you have read, the very first words that we heard is that, so as the Spirit says, today if you hear his voice. Today we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 3 about faith, and I think I had a very interesting topic here. They once believed. So I think you can guess a little bit what the message is about. As the Spirit, Holy Spirit says, as I prepare each week, I preach every week, as I prepare each week's message, even though sometimes I speak the same message, but I still start from the beginning over again. As you hear the word of God each Sunday morning, it is, hopefully, it is the Holy Spirit speaking to you through the speaker. We are just a vessel. I take preaching, Sunday preaching, very seriously, because it's the time, probably the only time that you can get the whole congregation together, sitting there undisturbed. They cannot leave, or some may leave early, but it's the only time that you can get the whole congregation to listen quietly to God's word. So every Saturday, I don't prepare the sermon on Saturday. Even though I said that I have to prepare the sermon, I work on my sermon on Saturday, I don't prepare the sermon on Saturday. The sermon was well prepared before Saturday, but I spent the whole day meditating on it. Way down to the last minute before I go to bed. And then in the morning, I meditate on it again. And even this morning, I make some changes to my sermons. It's always changing. So even when I preach it again next week, it will be slightly different. So the author of Hebrews here reminded the audience, as the Holy Spirit says. So when we listen to a minister, the main job of a minister, pastor, is not to organize events, but to preach the word of God and to pray. Prayers and the word of God. So as we listen to God's word, you have to be reminded, it's the Holy Spirit that is speaking to you, not the speaker. At least that's the way it's supposed to be, unless you've got a speaker who's not preaching the Bible. Today, if you hear his voice. So the author mentioned today three times in chapter 3 and 8 times total in the entire book of Hebrews. Today, so when you listen to God's words today, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Even the book of Hebrews and all the Bible was written thousands of years ago. But when you read it, when you listen to God's word, God is using this present tense. He is speaking to you this morning, today. So we have to listen with a heart of response. And the word listen here is not just listening. It has a meaning of obeying, submitting. So the Greek word hear, meaning when we hear the word of God, we don't just listen. Like we listen to music, sometimes we don't even know what the lyric is. We just like the music, you know, it's really high. But when we listen, we have to listen with our hearts. Also, we have to submit and obey. Very often, the problem with us Christians, we listen, we don't obey, and we listen. We know that we're supposed to do this, but we delay, we postpone it. But the author here reminded us, God wants us to take action, to submit, to obey, not only to listen, but to submit and to follow today. The greatest danger is not that we refuse God, but that we postpone him. Jerry Packer, my favorite teacher when I was in the seminary. We know all the truth. We heard it many times. And we know that we have to take action. Today's action is to have faith and believe in God. We know that we have to take action, but we delay it. We know that we should do this, but we will do it next month, next time. We know that we have to read the Bible. We have to obey. We have to live out what we have been taught. But let's do it later when I have a better job, a more stable income before I tithe. When I have more time, when I'm more settled, I will do this and do that. Very often it's not that we do not believe in God's words. It's that we postpone it, which today the author reminds us, today we have to take action. So the author of Hebrews, quoting from Psalms 95, about how God led their ancestors to walk through the wilderness into the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey. So this passage is quoted from Isaiah. Psalms 95. Do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me. Though for 40 years they saw what I did. That's why I was... Next page. That's why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So the author is bringing them back to memory, to history, how God, and it is probably the greatest miracles in their history, how God led them out from Egypt to the land of Canaan, land of milk and honey. God did that through many miracles, except that it took a bit longer, 40 years. This would have been there in a year or so. But it took them 40 years. It's because of their lack of faith. So I hope that this morning's message will help all of us to enter into the land of Canaan, the land of spiritual rest for us today. We're already in the land of milk and honey. We're in Canada. We have oil, just that we cannot get it out. We already have all these material things. But here, the author is talking about in chapter 4, Hebrews, he's talking about another rest, not just into the land of milk and honey, Canaan, but spiritual rest. So the author reminded the listeners that trace back to your ancestors, how God led them through miracles, at least the 10 miracles that God performed in front of the Pharaoh, so that they let them leave Egypt. We are all familiar of that. We studied that when we were in Awana, in children's Sunday school. And God protected them through the Passover and to preserve, to save their oldest son. And God sent pillars of cloud and fire, cloud by day, fire by night, so that they can be guided visibly. No, just almost like a GPS. No, they don't have GPS. How would they not get lost? God sent clouds. So this is the old day of GPS. God performed probably the greatest miracle in those 40 years. Divided, parted the Red Sea so they can walk across. It's like today, you're standing in front of the Barat Inlet and God parked this the water, and then you can walk across to the other side. If you and I experience this miracle, I don't think we will have any more doubt about God. Right? No. Only a month after they walked across the dry land of Red Sea, they decided to worship a golden calf, worship idols. Less than 2 or 3 months after they seen the greatest, probably the greatest miracle in those 40 years. And God gave them, provide them food, manna from heaven. And God provide them the victory over their enemies and many, many miracles. Despite all the miracles they had witnessed, experienced, but when they arrive at the promised land, they were scared. They lost faith. It becomes one of the clearest examples in the Bible of unbelief despite overwhelming evidence of God's faithfulness. They sent 12 spies to the land, to Canaan. They came back. They were complaining. They worried. They scared. We cannot go in there. Only 2, Joshua and Caleb, said that we should go in and take this promised land. But the rest scared, worried, and they blame God despite the great miracles. And there is a famous incident recorded in Exodus 17:7, and he caused the place Masset and Meribeth, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" We are all familiar with this story. It's not that they are thirsty. It's not that they don't have water. Yes, they don't have water. But instead of going to God and pray and ask with faith, they blame God. They blame Moses. They almost want to stone Moses. Despite all the miracles, they are still full of unbelief. Master, these 2 places will remind us today that it's not that God did not perform miracles in our life. It's that we are still unbelief. The word master, meaning experiment, test, challenge, probe, to examine, to test God, to ask God to prove yourself, doubting God's presence and faithfulness, putting God in the defendant seat. Why don't we have water to drink? What is the problem? The challenge. The word Meribah, meaning quarrel, accusation, protest, rebellion, debates, is lay in a court of litigation, challenging God, dissatisfied with God, protest against God's leadership. Something is wrong here, God. How come we don't have water to drink? Anger at God's servant, Moses. Spiritual rebellion and complaints. It's like saying, God, I am not happy with the way that you do things. How sad it is. Your ancestors test and tried me. Though for 40 years they saw what I did. Aren't we sometimes like that? Most of us probably are not 40 years old, but maybe 20, 25, 30. But in those 30 years, God has performed the miracles. I don't know what it is with you, but for myself, I've seen many of God's great work. There were times my mom is with the Lord now, when she was sick for the last 10 years, when she was still on earth, many times it was life-threatening surgeries in the hospital. That's a time when I pray really hard to the Lord, Lord, if you save her this time, I will do this, I'll do that. But very often when God saved her from the danger, and I just go back to the way I live. And aren't we sometimes like that? We test God, despite all the great work, great things God has done in your life, instead of doubt. Today, if something in front of you requires some faith, requires a leap of faith, you cannot see what's in front of you. It's easy to have faith when you know exactly, you have a plan, you have a blueprint, you know exactly where you're going, you know exactly your next step. It's easy for us to say, I believe in God. But you don't see, it's not clear. Your career, your marriage, your relationship, your job, the future. Should we stay in Vancouver or go to other provinces to find a job? When the future is not clear, then you rely on yourself. You don't trust God. Despite what God has guided you, you test, you try me. Aren't we sometimes like that? Sometimes we're saying that, let's go back to Egypt. Is God trying to kill us? How sad it is. We forgot about the past. As this year is our 60th anniversary of the forming of VCAC, I've given a task to collect some old photos that we're going to display outside. So we're going to display into we put them out four times. So the first time, we're going to put out the first 15 years of the photos. So I've given a lot of black and white photos. They're all black and white. And they all look funny, the people in there. So I look at all those photos. Most of the people in the photos, I have never met. Well, I met Pastor Chow. Some of the people in the photos are still here. So when we put out in the next few weeks, we can go there and see if we can find me in the photos. And I look at all those photos, and then I think of God's blessings for this church for the last 60 years. I look at Pastor Chow, I can only think of blessings, how God performed all these miracles through him, building all these alliance churches in the Lower Mainland, even in places far away. And sometimes we need to Look back. Look at what God we have done. The problem with us is we are very forgetful. We just keep moving on, which is good. But we forget to look at all the great work God has done in our life. And that's why God is angry with these people, this group of people. That's why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. We first believed, were convicted. We truly believe that this is the true God, and we gave our life to Him. We go through the 101 Christianity 101 class so that we can get baptized. Then we follow Him. We come to all the meetings at church, Sunday school, even prayer meeting. We go to every meeting. Like myself, when I first became a Christian, I go to almost all the church meetings, almost at church every day. But slowly, we numb. We increasingly numb to sin. And slowly, we walk astray, as the author here says. And they have not known my ways. I'm sure when they first left Egypt, their heart is truly 100% believed, trusted Moses and the God that he believed. But slowly, they walk their own way. They go astray. Unbelieving is a sin. In not trusting God. Seeing to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Unbelieving heart is a sin, not only a weakness. Let's all be reminded this morning. Unbelieving heart. The word heart here is cardiac. Cardiac is today we derive at our medical term cardiac, or cardiac arrest. The word cardiac is the same word here, cardiac. So cardiac meaning not just your heart, is your whole body, is your thought, your emotion, your belief, your whole self is unbelieving. Because of the deceivableness of sins. Our heart, in the beginning, we know we have to follow God. We want to live a holy life. But over time, it is fine. Everyone is doing that. God will forgive me. This is not a serious crime. It's okay. I only do it once a while. C.S. Lewis said, the safest road to hell is the gradual one. Now, I'm not saying that unbelief will bring you to hell. You believe in Jesus, ask after Him, we all go to be with Him one day. But we're walking astray, turning away from God. It's a gradual slope going downward, one step at a time. Accumulative over time, allowing your heart to harden slowly. It's not about eating junk food. Just today, you eat junk food every week, and slowly you have heart problem. It's not just that you don't exercise today, you don't exercise over the years, and slowly it's affecting your health. None of you may be heartened by sins. Deceitfulness. The word hearten mentioned three times in Hebrews here, just in this chapter, chapter 3, three times. The word hearten The word heartened in Greek is the root of our English medical term today, cirrhosis. Younger people probably don't know what cirrhosis is, but older than us, we know hardening of your blood vessels, your liver. It's a serious disease. I'm not a medical doctor. I think there are enough medical doctors here to probably correct me afterwards, but I Googled this up. It first started with chronic irritation causes damage, high blood pressure that you do not take care of, high blood sugar, smoking, stress, eating food that you're not supposed to indulge in. And then your body will have inflammation. The inflammation is to repair itself. Short-term inflammation is protection. But long-term inflammation can cause damage issue. Fibrosis. And then collagen builds up, tissues thicken, harden, and loses elasticity. And then slowly you lose its function. You have shallow, I cannot even pronounce some of these medical terms. Then you have serious irreversible health problem. And our spiritual problem is just almost like that, cirrhosis. It started with the prime of long-standing sin, ignoring God. That did not start overnight. It takes time. And your heart become bitter, angry with God, become unforgiving. Have we not all met some people who always seems to be bitter, unforgiving, not happy? And then you go to the next phase, self-protection, defending yourself, rejecting God's warning. So you heard God's word saying that you should repent, but you defend yourself, you refuse. I say, he's not talking about me. The preacher is not about my spouse, the one behind me, my family member, it's not me. You become defensive. The heart is no longer soft, no longer obedient. Spiritual life, you lost your sensitivity and responsiveness. Your heart hardened. And then you lose your spiritual sensitivity. You walk astray from God. And your heart refused to respond to the word of Spirit. A hard heart is not the absence of miracle, but a heart that cannot be changed even by miracles. And it did not happen overnight. Sometimes over years. What one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. It's so true with our country, isn't it? We see the going downhill of our moral values when gauged against God's standard. This did not happen overnight. All this change in build this, build that, all these bills did not implement overnight. It's over years, over decades, one bill at a time. What one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our government. So the solution to that doesn't sound like a great solution. that you have to come to church. Not you have to come to church, but we have to encourage one another as long as this called today, to date, so that none of you may be heartened by sin's deceitfulness. Why do we have to come together? Because we, by ourselves, we are weak. All of us, by ourselves, we are weak. We will be weak. And we just keep going, walking away from God. We need each other. We need this encouragement. This word encourage, is the same Greek word used for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. It's the same root word. Encourage. Just like the Holy Spirit is comforting us, encouraging us, reminding us, correcting us, supporting us. This is the job of the Holy Spirit as a comforter. And it is the same word the author of Hebrews here is used to encourage. So the Holy Spirit is encouraging you through the one sitting next to you, the one who brought you to church, remind you to come this morning, to remind you to go to prayer meeting, to drag you into Sunday school, to keep nagging you, to sigh, please sigh for the summer conference. It is good for you. Please pray. And the ones who pray, actually pray for you. We have to be together, encouraging each other. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit working through us, the Christians around you, not just the pastor, but the Christians around you. We need to encourage, support each other so that we can walk together in faith. Without faith, we cannot enter into the land of rest. And we have to be reminded of our original conviction. We have come to share in Christ. If indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. When we first believe, we are just like the Israelites when they first left Egypt. I'm sure they're full of faith. Just when life becomes hard, difficult, challenging, always seems to be against us, then we lost our faith. When we cannot see what's in front of us, it's easy for us to remember what God has done in our church for the last 60 years, but it is harder, actually for me, to say what are we going to do in the next few months. When we first set up the ministry, the baby circle, for the first few months, there's only my grandson, Michael, and one other baby, only two of them. I think you need more than three people to form a circle, right? Oh, I guess you can form two holding hands together. It's called a baby circle. We prayed a lot that we need at least three babies to have a proper circle. But for some time, we have two, sometimes three. The last 2 weeks, we have seven babies. And then we worry we cannot handle seven babies. They're all running around. We have to make sure they're safe. So I said, seven is a bit more than we can handle. We only have four volunteers, right? So last week we have six. So six is a good number. But it's okay. If we have seven, we'll just recruit more volunteers. God answer our prayers. Your original conviction. Don't lose that. This past week, Cynthia and I visited an old Christian. He's admitted to the hospital through emergency. It was a life-threatening medical situation. So we went to the hospital, and the doctor said it's good that he was admitted in time, otherwise there will be danger to his life. He's not exactly a great Christian. He once believed, but slowly walked away. So we pray of him. I'm sure that when we were praying, he must be the most faithful Christians in the 50-mile radius around the hospital, that he's fully trusting his life, his real life, into God's hands, praying that God will save him. He probably never trust God more at that moment because his life was in danger. But brothers and sisters, hopefully we don't have to wait till that situation, until we are serious about praying, until we are serious about our original conviction. So we see that they were not able, the Israel, to enter into Canaan, God's promised land, because of their unbelief. Today we are already in Canada. We already entered the land of diamonds, gold, and oils. We don't need that land of milk and honey anymore, but it's talking about a higher Canaan, a higher land of peace, about our spiritual restfulness, our spiritual peace. Peace is about an abundant life that Jesus said, you are all promise and abundant life. Why are we not experiencing this abundant life? Why are not we experiencing this peace that we supposed to enter into? Why we are not peaceful? Because of our unbelief. It's not that we don't believe he's our Savior. It's just that we do not trust him to be our Lord. It's just that I cannot see what's in front of us. I worry. I'm scared. Can I really trust God? So in closing, I want to share this movie, Indiana Jones and the Lost Crusade. I share the first trial of this movie. So at the end of this movie, when Indiana Jones have to save his father was shot by bad people. And his father is, which is played by Sean Connery, he's dying. So Indiana Jones have to go and find this cup of life and then fill this cup of life with water, then bring it back to his father. His father is dying. And when he drink this water from the cup of life, then he will be safe. No, otherwise he will just die in the wilderness, in the mountain there. So Indiana Jones rush to find this cup, and his father been there before, so he gave him this little hand-drawn map, telling him how to go to this place. And there are three trials, and each one is you lose your life. And then I share the first one. So he passed through the first one, the first trial. I forgot what it's called, the life of repentance. And then if you miss that, take a wrong step, then you'll be cut into several pieces. So he passed that one. And then the second one, if you don't follow, if you don't take the right step, then you fall to this a cliff, and then you'll die. And then he followed the instruction from his of this little booklet, a map drawn by his father, and he passed. So he passed the first and the second trial. Now the third one is the most dangerous one. So the third one, so he's standing to the end of this tunnel. You can see him standing there. And there's no way to the other side. And he has to look down. There's nothing, right? And then he has to get to the other side. So what do I do? What's he going to do? He cannot jump. It's too far away. And there's no rope, no bridge. How can he get to the other side? And he looked at this little map, booklet, given to him by his father. And then he saw this guy walking in the air. My goodness. But then there are other people falling down to the bottom of the cliff and died. So you have to walk in the air to the other side. What would you do? Would you trust this book, this map, the instruction? But when he think this book was given to him by his father, somebody he can trust, and his father knows the way, and then this booklet saved him from trial one and two, and he was safe until this very last trial. He cannot see what's in front of him, and there's nothing, but he just I'll just take a leap of faith, because what happened in the past, trial one and two, my father was right, and even though I cannot see what's in front, I take a leap of faith. This is the third trial. It's called the leap of faith. So he just stepped into nothing. Would you do that? Probably not. But he has faith in his father and the instruction. So when he stepped on it, it's nothing. So he's going to fall to the bottom. So the movie has to just end there because he died. I had to change the ending. But when he stepped his foot into the midair, oh, there's a bridge there. It's just there's an invisible bridge. He can see the bridge. It's a piece of rock that goes to the other side. Eyes cannot see until you step on it, until you move forward. So he quickly walked to the other side. He looked back. The bridge was always there. But once he stepped onto the other side, it disappeared again. So he threw some sand in the midair just to prove that the bridge, the invisible bridge, was always there. We may not be able to see what's in front of us. I don't know how the world is going to end. The way it's going is a crazy world, isn't it? Is there going to be a nuclear war? I don't know. How the world, what's going to happen? I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. There are many life challenges in front of you. You cannot see. Even the pastor cannot help you. We do not know. But Lord, God knows. And he promised. Look back how God has protected you, guided you, led you. Look at all these miracles that he has done in your life that bring you to here, sitting here, or on Zoom today. Look at all the miracles. And so you, based on that, you take a leap of faith. You do not understand, you do not see. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And that is the faith that God wants us to have. Let's pray. Father God, for each one of us, we face challenges in our life. We are worried. We cannot see what's in front of us. But help us to continue to maintain this original conviction, original faith that we have in you, that we continue to trust you, to find rest in you, and come to you, all those who are weary and have burdens, come to you and find rest in you, and find our soul has rest in you. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.